producing. So now we come to the manufacturing part. Supply chain managers are responsible for orchestrating the necessary actions to procure raw material, receive them, transform them into finalized goods, conduct quality assessment on the product, prepare them for transportation, and arrange the timing of each shipment for delivery. So imagine, we already talked about the procurement and we talked about the stocking of the material, that is the inventory management. So now it comes to the production. And in production, you have to produce the material as and when there is a demand for the material. You have to make sure that the material is being made of the right quality, which means not only you transform them into finished goods, the raw material, but you also check for the quality assessment or quality assurance, as we call it. And then once the products are ready, then you prepare them for transportation. Also, the timing for each shipment, depending upon what are the stocks with the distributor, with the retailer. So if you find that the distributor is going to stock out, then you have to give priority to that particular distributor or to that particular item, which is facing or likely to be stocked out for delivery. Delivering. Logistics and supply chain management are intricately connected. Understandable. The coordination of orders, selection, packing, delivery scheduling, invoicing, dispatching, notification of relevant parties, and receipt of payments are all vital components of the delivery process. So yes, even where it's a distributor, so you have to ship the material, and for that you have to first pick the material, you have to invoice the material. Nowadays it's a little more complicated because, you know, you, if the company is reasonably big, then you have to generate invoice from the GST portal. You also have to create an e-way bill. So these activities need to be completed. In case there is any secondary packing which needs to be done, that has to be taken care of. All these has to be done based on the delivery schedule. So once you invoice the material, and nowadays most of the systems have this automated facility where the electronic copy of the invoice will automatically go to the customer. And you will find that not only to the customer, meaning the receiving point of the customer, which may be his warehouse, etc., but also to the billing department or the finance department of the customer, so that they have to make payment, so they have the billing copy or the invoice copy, the first copy as we call it. So all these are part of the delivery process. Even when the presence of third-party courier systems, it is imperative to meticulously monitor every exchange to prevent any errors, as a single mistake can result in substantial delays. So even we have seen this for e-commerce, etc., that while a third-party logistics partner is handling the consignment, you will find that all the information are updated and you can see exactly where your consignment is at any given point of time. Why error can be costly? Because we say that a single mistake can result in a substantial delay. A wrong material being dispatched, or a material being dispatched to the wrong location. So these can be very costly. It is going to cause lot of customer dissatisfaction, and it's going to cost also additional cost, to reroute the material and to supply it to the customer. In case the customer is, really upset and he needs the material urgently, you might also have to again ship out a second shipment, and the first shipment you may have to recall it and bring it back into the stock. Returning. So in supply chain management, businesses need to establish an efficient process for handling product returns. This involves implementing a system for accepting customer returns and deciding whether the product should be refurbished, repaired, disposed of, or restocked. So there are cases, you know, where the product has been opened by the customer and found it is not to their liking. And especially, you know, with this e-commerce, a lot of people you find that they order material and they will return it by saying that they don't like the product or the product is not what they thought it to be. So in that case, it needs to be refurbished, again, restored to the condition like new, repacked so that it can be resold. Now, if it's there is a defect in the product, so in that case, the product may have to be repaired and maybe it may be sold not as new, but as a refurbished product. Or if the product is, you know, beyond repair, it may have to be disposed of. Let us say that there is a fragile material which is broken. There is no way you can refurbish or repair it. And in such a case, you may just have to dispose it off. And the last case is, like we said, you know, that the material has been wrongly routed to a wrong address. So in that case, let us say that you shipped out another component or another product to the customer, and the original component, you recall it and you restock it in the stock so that it can be sold against a fresh order. So now we'll discuss the approaches or methodologies to supply chain management. Supply chain management is not something trivial, but requires understanding and managing not only the flow of material involved between the agents that make it up, but also understanding of the financial flow and the value generated to the final consumer, as well as policies external to the chain, social responsibility, and concern about the risk that threatens its operation. So this is again, you know, adding more parameters to the definition. So it is not only about flow of material, but also about the financial flow. And here the financial flow also talks about the value generation. That means at every step, what is the value which is being generated for the final consumer? So it's not just value addition, it's a value generation. What is the difference? Value addition is, or rather cost addition is where you are incurring a cost, but there is no value added to the product. And value generation is basically where you are adding a feature or you are adding some value which is the customer is willing to pay for. So that's the crux here. Regarding supply chain management, there are different approaches and models for this purpose, about which the author, that is Lelys and Simon, highlights four main methodologies as presented herewith. So we are going to look at four models which are presented by Lelys and Siemens. So one is the Cooper, Lambert and PAG model. So this model seeks to manage the interrelationship of supply chain based on the dimensional understanding, business processes and management components. The second model, that is the SCORE model, that is Supply Chain Operations Reference, that is the full form of SCORE, proposed by the Supply Chain Council. This model promotes supply chain management through basic business processes, that is plan, supply or procurement or sourcing as we call it, produce, manufacture, deliver, return, which is when defective goods come back, and enable with an emphasis on its performance metrics. The third is the MSU model, which is the Michigan State University model. This model is based on the multifunctional characteristics of supply chain and is supported by 8 pillars, which are product design. So here you see, we are not just talking of manufacturing or just getting the raw material, we are also talking of the product design and redesign, process design and redesign, performance measurement, capacity management, planning, purchase, supply, make, produce and deliver. So encompasses everything, more of a ongoing model. IMD model, which is International Institute for Management Development. So this methodology works on chain management from the perspective of four dimensions, namely execution of processes without failure, focus on managing demand throughout the chain, and partnerships and outsourcing and supply. So if I just were to break it up, execution of processes without failure, which is more of risk management, that means how you can mitigate any risk to the process so that there are no failures. Focus on managing demand throughout the chain, that means managing the demand right from the retailer back to the raw material supplier. Partnership with your vendors or suppliers where there is a collaborative relationship, and outsourcing and supply. So, you know, you don't need to manufacture everything. You only need to focus on the core areas of your strength. Wherever you find that somebody else can do the job better, you outsource. So let's look at the different type of models. Running a worldwide supply chain is a multifaceted endeavor, and employing an inappropriate supply chain model can leave a company vulnerable to risk and interruptions. This was highlighted during the COVID time, that a lot of companies had supply chain where the suppliers were located thousands of miles away. And during COVID, you found that there were a lot of restrictions on movement of material, and many companies found themselves in a very challenging situation because of this. So now, the new concept which has come into supply chain is near sourcing. That means you should have your suppliers closer to you, so that you know you can mitigate the risk due to any such unforeseeable disruptions. So, inappropriate supply chain model can leave a company vulnerable to risk and interruptions, leading to higher expenses and potential harm to the brand. Even we have seen this during the tsunami. Many of the Japanese automobile manufacturers, they used to manufacture certain key components in Japan and supply it to their manufacturing sites globally. Now, because of the tsunami, their manufacturing in Japan came to a halt. And because of that, since those components could not be supplied, their manufacturing in across the world was affected. And this led to, you know, the products not being available in the markets. So therefore, choosing the appropriate model that aligns with your business need is of utmost importance. So here are six distinct supply chain models that can effectively steer supply chain management for any business. They are grouped into two categories as listed herewith. So efficiency-focused supply chain models. So here you have three models: efficient chain model, fast chain model, and the continuous flow model. The second one is the responsiveness model, or responsiveness focused supply chain model. Now here you have the agile model, the flexible model, and the custom configuration model. We'll look at each of these in more detail. So we already talked about this various models which are available. So let's come to the efficient chain model. This type of model, that is the efficient chain, is designed for highly competitive sectors. The primary objective of this model is to optimize efficiency. Adhering to its model, the company must develop accurate production forecast to ensure proper preparation of machinery and raw material. So where are we using this kind of a model? This is used mostly for commodity type of model, where the selling point is mainly on the price or the cost of ownership. So here you are trying to manufacture the item in the most efficient way at the least cost and meeting all the customer requirement. So this is the efficient model. This type of model is commonly utilized by commoditized enterprises, wherein the production process is determined by projected sales throughout the production cycle. In such industries, the competition primarily revolves around price, which I just mentioned. Nestlé exemplifies a brand that necessitates an effective chain model. given their narrow profit margins and the highly competitive nature of their markets, they need to minimize cost while ensuring that suppliers are consistently well stocked. Nestle could be one example, but mainly, I mean, if you look at all the commodities or all the, again, I would say commodities are things or products which are sold not on the brand name, but they are sold more by their generic name. So you can say all basic chemicals, etc., they will fall under this category. There are certain products also which fall under this category. One example given was cashew. Cashew has few models which they manufacture with utmost efficiency, and they make the product with such low manufacturing cost that even an ordinary person can afford a cashew calculator. So this is one example of, you know, how you make the product with the efficiency model. Coming to the fast chain model. The fast chain model is a recent addition to the realm of supply chain strategies. It is particularly well suited for enterprises that deal with product lines characterized by short life cycle. So here you find that, take the example of mobile phones, etc., or fashion industry. The fashion keeps on changing very fast. Now here, the supply chain needs to constantly gear to the changing needs of the market. So in terms of the design of the garments, in terms of the fabric being used in the garment, in terms of the design of the fabric or the colors. So these are changing because, as you must have known, you know, fashion industry, they have fashions changing every season. So they have fall and winter or spring and summer. And you will find that for every season, there is a different line of clothing, different colors of clothing. So it has to be very, very flexible, very, very fast, quick changeover. Even the stock in the showroom has to change depending upon the seasons so that, you know, people who come to the store can buy the products for the coming season. So fast chain model is a recent addition. We already saw that. For example, a fashion designer may introduce a specific line of design for a particular season. To maximize profit, the business must swiftly bring the fashion line to the market as it is heavily influenced by current trends. Because once the fashion is out, your product is not going to be of much use. So you have to, time your products, the introduction of your products. So your gestation period, the period for development of the product is very, very short. Time available to put it on the shelf in the market is very short, and the shelf life is also very short because once the fashion is over, the stocks are not going to be of much use. Given that supply chain efficiency can significantly enhance a company's competitive advantage, this model is often regarded as the most optimal choice among various forms of supply chain integration. So even if your company is not into, let's say, fashion industry or any such industry where very quick changes happen, this model is excellent because it has very low lead times, right from development of the product till the time it reaches the market. And it doesn't hold much of inventory throughout the supply chain, which means that you're operating with very low working capital. So Adidas serves as a notable illustration of this supply chain approach, that is the fast chain model. So again, here, similar to the fashion industry, they keep on introducing new footwear, or even because, you know, they are not only into footwear, they are also into sports gear and sportswear, which means that garments, you know, for sports persons, etc., accessories. So these are constantly evolving and new designs are coming. And that is how they are using this fast chain model. Coming to the next one, continuous flow model. So this kind of model is considered one of the most traditional options available. The continuous flow model is highly recommended for industries and businesses that prioritize stability in their operations. This kind of model is well suited for commodity manufacturing and businesses that consistently produce the same goods with minimal variations and a high level of demand stability. it is most appropriate for well-established industries. So let me give an example. We talked about the aluminum industry. The industry which, let's say, converts the aluminum ore, which is bauxite, into alumina, correct? Now here, the focus is on continuously running the plant. And it's got, okay, in alumina also you have different grades which are being manufactured, but largely for making metal, there is one grade of alumina. So you are making one product in huge volumes continuously. The focus here is utilization of your plant and equipment to the fullest. You have a very balanced system. That means your capacities are balanced and your process is running continuously. It is running 24/7. No interruptions. Maybe the only interruption will be when they shut down the system for a maintenance, which will be once in a while. And mostly it will be a preventive maintenance kind of a thing. So this is a continuous model. An exemplary illustration of the continuous flow model is PepsiCo. So here they have given the example of Pepsi. This established corporation boasts a substantial customer base characterized by minimal demand variability irrespective of prevailing market conditions. So I presume that here we are talking about the soft drink, where you are continuously running the plant non-stop. So there is no question of stopping the production. Or what may be happening is you may be varying between whether you are bottling the product in a glass bottle or in a PET bottle, even within a PET bottle, whether you are packing it in a 2.5 liter bottle or a 1 liter bottle or a small bottle, etc. But your production otherwise is continuous. So here the focus is on utilizing your capacity to the fullest so as to minimize the cost of production. The agile model. The agile model is particularly suitable for businesses that handle specialty items necessitating extra care in the supply chain process. This model is customized to cater to specific product it deserves or it serves. The agile model is recognized for the level of expertise needed to ensure the safe transportation of goods from one point to the other, rather than relying heavily on automation or technology. So agile model is, where you are, one of the area where I can see this agile model successfully implemented is where you are custom producing or custom manufacturing items. Like for example, building machineries or equipment, chemical plant equipment, etc. You are not making something which is a standard product. Every product is being made or manufactured to a customer requirement. And here the customer is not willing to wait. Also, your systems have to be agile so that you are able to adapt to specific needs of the customer. So it's not that every product that you manufacture or you produce will be identical, but you are able to meet the requirement of the customer using the agile system. Zara exemplifies a brand that adheres to the agile model. Zara again comes to the fashion model, the fashion example that we took. But here agile is used because they are one of the brands which are very quick in introducing the fashions and even replacing the fashions. They say that in Zara, if a product doesn't sell for 15 days, it is taken off the shelf because the retail space comes at a premium. So if a product doesn't sell, they will take it off the shelf and replace it with another product which moves faster. So its designers are adept at quickly identifying trends, creating new designs, and ensuring that the entire supply chain reacts promptly. So all these products, which are very quick to develop and to be put on the market, they adopt the agile model. Basically, what you're doing is you're compressing the lead time, you know, right from development to actualizing the product and putting it on the shelf for the consumer. Coming to the flexible model. Now we are coming to the responsiveness. The ability to handle high demand during peak season and adapt to low demand during a lean period is a key feature of flexible model. To effectively operate this model, businesses must have the appropriate supply chain management software and knowledgeable personnel. Organizations specializing in merchandise related to specific holidays or seasonal product profit from this adaptable business model. So we talked about the festivals, etc., and how certain products find a market only during certain seasons. We talked about the garment industry during the marriage season. Also, we said that there are some lean cycles when there is a low demand. Even for festoons and lights, etc., you will find that during Diwali, Christmas, or some such festivals, the demand is high. So in the flexible model, you are able to adjust your supply chain and the activities to actually meet the seasonal product requirement, so that you are not producing material too much in advance and stocking it and blocking your working capital. So Staples serves as a prime illustration of a company that employs a flexible supply chain model. The strategies implemented by the company are tailored to accommodate the significant seasonal demand for school supplies. So like we talked about the Diwali or the Christmas, and the school is another example, because you will find that there is a maximum sale of, let's say, the books. It could be textbooks, exercise books, uniforms, stationery, etc. So there is a significant demand when the schools reopen, in the new year. So Staples is using this particular model. So significant seasonal demand for school supplies following the summer break, while also ensuring that stores maintain adequate inventory during the remainder of the year when demand is comparatively lower. So there is a demand even other times of the year. At the time, the stocks are available, but the peak requirement is after the summer break. Custom configured model. So the custom configured model necessitates tailored configuration during the assembly and production phases. It combines agile and continuous flow approaches, allowing for potential extra customization of manufactured products while maintaining end-to-end functionality. So many products, they do have the option to customize the product. And especially this happens in engineering products, in machineries, etc., where there are various options available to the customer depending upon their operations. So here, your manufacturing or your supply chain has to be to cater to this customization. Typically utilized for prototype development and small batch manufacturing, the custom configured model demands a higher investment from the company in comparison to conventional model. Why? Because you have to design, like for example, a simple machinery. There is a customization required before you actually manufacture or assemble the equipment. A drawing needs to be created about what needs to be done. There may be certain jigs and fixtures which may be required to be fabricated for the manufacturing of the machine or the equipment. Example given here, a furniture company could utilize this model by offering customers the ability to choose from a range of customizable options, including different hardware and furniture leg styles. As I mentioned, this is more applicable to engineering equipment, etc., where high level of customization is possible depending upon the operations of the customer. Furniture, yes, you can have a certain customization possible, of course, but not to a very large extent. So what are the key features of an effective supply chain management? So when seeking supply chain vendors, it is important to identify several significant features of supply chain management. And by incorporating these features into their business, organizations can enhance the potential for growth in their respective industry. So let's look at what are the features. So improving the efficiency. Now we are looking at the key features. Efficiency stands as a paramount objective in the realm of supply chain management. Optimization of transportation and logistics. Enhancing the efficiency of logistics and transportation is an additional vital goal of the supply chain management. So improving efficiency, how quickly you can transform a product from raw material to the finished product. It could be that there is one organization which takes 2 months to convert a raw material into finished product. There is another organization which can do the same thing within 1 week. So which one is more efficient? So naturally, improving efficiency is how quickly you can convert your raw material into the finished product. That means your product has minimum waiting time either in your warehouse or on the shop floor or in the finished goods warehouse. So efficiency is one of the key factors. Optimization of transportation. Minimum transportation. The more you move the goods, it's going to cost you money. And if you can optimize and minimize your transportation, and mind you, we are talking of transportation and logistics, but even simple thing, even within the shop floor in your manufacturing facility, moving material from one operation to another operation or one machine to the other machine is costing you money and time. So if you can minimize that, that is going to result in savings. Third point, reduction in operative expenses. The primary objective of supply chain management is to minimize the operational expenses. So here, you're talking of every kind of operational expenses that you can save. It could be right from receiving the goods, the quality assurance or the inspection of the goods, issue of material to the shop floor, movement of the material on the shop floor. So every stage, including manufacturing, if you can reduce your operating expenses, this is going to add to your profits. So basically, here we are talking of improving on your manufacturing cost or operating cost. Ensuring customer satisfaction. This is the key, because if the customer is not satisfied, he won't buy your product. And if you can't sell a product, then you as an enterprise are going to have a challenge. So customer satisfaction is a key component of supply chain management, as it serves as the primary avenue for delivering quality customer service. So quality product and quality customer service, both are important. You may have an excellent product. If the customer service is poor, let us say you buy a refrigerator and you find the refrigerator is delivered to your house, and for 3 days nobody turns up to install the refrigerator, would that make you happy? So it's not only about the product, it's also about the service. Better distribution system. The firm's governing body reaps the reward of a supply chain management as it enhances the efficiency of the distribution process. We have already discussed this, so I'm not elaborating on this. Coming to the features of supply chain, cloud-based capabilities. So authorized individuals have the privilege to utilize cloud-based supply chain management tools from any place at any given moment and on any device that is connected. Example, you have e-commerce. Cloud-based, you can, from a computer, from a mobile, you can actually connect to the device the platform, and you can transact business. And we are not talking only about e-commerce in terms of purchasing of some items. Even B2B business, is being conducted on the cloud-based systems, and there are already softwares and systems available for the same. Improved coordination. So supply chain management is centered around enhancing coordination among the various stakeholders involved in the business. Again, there are softwares which are available, which seamlessly integrate the OEM with the upstream and downstream processes. So with the vendors, with the distributors, with the retailers. So even point of sale, if there is a sale happening, this is known to the company. The company knows that the product has been sold. The latest is that, you know, Mercedes-Benz has implemented a model. The old model was that the dealership used to actually purchase the vehicles, and the company would not know what are the vehicles being held by the dealership or what price they sold the vehicle for. The new system, the inventory is entirely held by Mercedes-Benz, and the dealer actually has to requisition the model that they wish to sell. So the price at which the car is being sold is actually monitored and governed by the company policies, etc. So you can see the coordination which can be enhanced by using certain solutions. Security. Security is another essential aspect of supply chain management software. Organizations must verify that the cloud-based platform selected for supply chain management includes security measures such as data encryption, network monitoring, virus scanning, multi-factor authentication, and role-based authorization. So it has to be secured. There should be security so that no virus can be introduced by any malicious source. Data encryption so that the data cannot be intercepted and read by any unauthorized person. Multi-factor authentication so that there cannot be any hacking into the system. Only the authorized people can actually log into the system. And role-based authorization so that if a person is authorized to, let's say, do a specific task, he is only authorized to access those portions. He cannot access or make modifications or make changes in the system which are beyond his role. Self-service portals. So in the realm of supply chain networks, numerous partners from diverse locations are involved. So we have seen that there are many people involved in the supply chain, multiple suppliers, tier one supplier, tier two suppliers, OEM, and then there could be multiple distributors, etc. So it's a supply chain network and it can be fairly complex. The lack of constant communication among them gives rise to communication issues. So communication is most important, be it demand, be it any other kind of information flow. To address this, business partners can utilize password-protected self-service portals to exchange plans and information based on their actions and preferences. Again, these are basically, we call it self-service portal, but they are basically portals or softwares which allow you to log in, place your requirement. Like for example, a distributor wants a certain model, certain number of stocks. He can log in, he can see the availability of stocks, he can place the order, he can even mention when he wants the material, etc. So this is a self-service portal where there is no human intervention required. So he doesn't have to, you know, send a purchase order and somebody has to, you know, convert that purchase order into a sales order. All this happens on the self-service portal without human intervention and in the most efficient manner. Even, I mean, you have seen on e-commerce, you know, you can sometimes see whether the product is available or not. If the product is stocked out, it will not allow you to order that product. It will also tell you when the product is available for delivery. So this is an example of, again, self-service portal. So this facilitates uninterrupted contact whenever required in the domain of supply chain management. Why you say uninterrupted? Because even at 2 in the night, if you want to place an order, you can place it. Since it is not human dependent, you don't require a human being at the other end. And you are basically interacting with the system. Performance measurement. Effective supply chain management relies on thorough performance measurement of operations to enhance responsiveness and innovation within a business. So, what are the performance measurements? It can be in terms of the lead time, it can be in terms of the number of defects, number of returns, time taken, to deliver the goods against the promise, what we call as OTIF, on time in full. That means whether you have delivered the product on time and the full quantity with the customer required. So you can measure various things through the online portal or softwares. So with that, we come to the end of this chapter. Thank you.